Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, it's that end. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Yo, give me some snare in my headphones. Hello there, everyone. My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to the Brouhaha. We are back. And I feel like I say that every episode. But listen, like I made reference to on the first ever episode of the Brouhaha, I hold down a day job. I'm a married man. I do a football web show. I do a hockey web show and podcast, and since it is both football and hockey season, it's going to be tough for me to do episodes of the Brouhaha. However, when I have time, I will squirt one out, like we're doing right now. And today's going to be a good episode, because a little bit later on, we will be chatting with one of the brainchildren of one of the greatest internet sites in the history of mankind, Beastie Nut. We will pick his brain, and we will talk about the great, 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 great website, BeastieMania.com. We'll ask them where they get their information from, how much time they put into it. I may even ask about the quasi-controversy that I guess has developed between BeastieMania.com and some of the members of the Beastie Boys message boards. I don't know. If you read the message boards, There's a teeny bit of hostility, and I don't know if that's because of one member, several members. We will get to the bottom of this. We will also play another game of 20 questions with Jason, who is on vacation, and I was a little worried that Jason wouldn't want to play, and he's like, listen, I'll give you a half hour. I'm on vacation, but I want to play 20 questions. I want the Beastie Boys diorama. And once again, if any of you would like to compete on 20 questions, or if any of you would like to be on the Brouhaha, just send us an email over at beastiepodcast@gmail.com. And what has been going on in Beastie Universe? Well, for the second time, Beastie Boys were nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, that's cool. You know, if they make it, that's great. If they don't make it, who cares? You know, I can't see the Beastie Boys performing at the induction ceremony. Something about Intergalactic wouldn't go right with Paul Schaefer on keyboards and Eric Clapton on guitar. But we shall see. Maybe Eric Clapton has an awesome Intergalactic guitar riff. So we hope the Beastie Boys make it to the Hall of Fame. But if not, you know that they are in our Hall of Fame. If the Brouhaha had a Hall of Fame, the Beastie Boys would be the first artist inducted. Still no album. I doubt that we will get a new Beastie Boys album in 2010. Bummer. But hey, you know what? The Beastie Boys, their former tour mates, they put out an album this year. I was listening to it today. It came out in April, but listen to this song. I'll give you a quick snippet. Cypress Hill doing some disco.
It's a new day to build, expand the hill. We grab the bill, the trip is real. Don't make me pull out the steel and cause a commotion, emotions kill.
Heat seekers, if you come seek us, serve your asses through your weak speakers.
Anyone, anywhere, we on jack. Blowing up another spot with the bomb track.
Bam, 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 bam.
Kill him up, tear him up, and put him down.
Jump.
If he ain't tough, shut him up, put him down.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, Cypress Hill still putting out albums, still touring. We need Hot Sauce Committee Part 1 to come out soon. I'm getting so impatient. But thank you to, I don't know who it was on the message board. They posted a pretty clean version of Pop Your Balloon. So for that, I say thank you. So let's get this Brouhaha underway, and when we come back, we will play 20 questions with Jason, who is on vacation.
Guarantee we bring the Brouhaha.
Is it your Brouhaha?
Brouhaha.
main thing about doing stunt work is safety first. I learned that from Burt Reynolds himself, because if you're not going to be safe, you're not going to be careful with the people around, the people who are in the vicinity watching you do a manly stunt, and you might hurt somebody.
We have returned on the Brouhaha, and we haven't done this in a while, but we are going to play 20 questions with Jason from Canada, who is vacationing in Florida. Thank you for joining us, Jason.
Thank you for having me.
Now, do you need to go anywhere within the next 20 minutes? Wakeboarding or shell collecting?
This is my primary focus right now.
But you have a couple more days on vacation, right?
I do.
All right.
I'm in Florida until next Monday, so.
Okay, I don't want to screw up your mojo.
No.
All right.
We definitely won't screw that up.
Now, are you vacationing with anyone?
Yeah, with family, with my wife, daughter, and my parents.
All right, well, give a big thank you to your family for me, for letting me steal you for a little bit.
Okay, absolutely.
And when I got your email, you said you wanted to compete on 20 Questions, and you said that you noticed the Beastie Diorama on TV.
Yeah, that's a question I wanted to ask you. I can't remember where I saw it, if I saw it on TV or if it was like on a YouTube video, but I know you were showing it off somewhere, and I cannot recall where.
It's actually been on TV once. When I worked at MTV 2 years ago, I actually created some of the little amplifiers in my office. And around the same time, I think they were doing... It might have been the top 25 albums of all time, and Paul's Boutique was one of those albums, and in the two-minute piece, they used like 20 seconds of the Beastie-rama just because it was handy. And then a couple years ago, when I was working for IFC, we had to do this web show every week, and I was like, oh, man, I'm sick of thinking of ideas for this stupid web show. So one day, I just brought in my Beastie-rama. I think around the same time that MCA was putting out Gunnin' for That Number One Spot, and the Beastie-rama has appeared on the web as well. And now that Beastie-rama could be yours if you answer 20 Beastie Boys questions correctly.
Well, that's going to happen.
Whoa!
And I think it was IFC where I saw it, but
okay.
Anyways.
Now, have you listened to the past 20 questions before?
Yes, I have. Yes.
And have you been able to answer all of those questions?
You know what? When Prof. D did it, he made it to question 20.
Uh-huh.
I got every single one of those questions right, except for the Dwight Gooden question at the Jersey and Paul's Boutique. So I don't know. Maybe I would have done a multiple choice there, and that would have helped me out. But other than that, I was perfect.
Now, you being from Canada, are you upset that the Beastie Boys never shout out hockey players in their songs?
Not in the least. I'm one of those weird Canadians that really isn't a big hockey fan. I'm more of a basketball fan. So,
all right.
I think that's their sport as well. So
yeah. So you and Steve Nash, you're down with each other?
Absolutely.
And may I ask, what is your Beastie album of choice?
Ooh.
Is there where when were you hooked?
1987.
Whoa, early on.
Yeah. Going pretty far back. But I think about this all the time, this question. And lately, and I know this isn't going to be a popular answer, but I am listening to the Five Boroughs more than any of the records.
Let me say that...
I don't know if it's the recency thing or if it's... I don't know. I just appreciate having like a full-length hip-hop album from the Beastie Boys.
Let me say that album has just aged wonderfully. Because when it came out in 2004, I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. We got like a handful of really good singles, and then a lot of critics were poo-pooing on it. And now when I go back to it, I'm like, this is a solid hip-hop album.
I agree. There's definitely 5, 6, maybe 8, you know, really solid tracks that I listen to over and over and over.
And the singles, I mean, they're just good. When you like right now to check it out, Open Letter to NYC, Triple Trouble. And yeah, a solid album all around. And I'm glad that they stuck with one theme for that one.
Me too.
Then I have to ask you, because I ask everyone, when you first heard Paul's Boutique, thoughts?
Well, I mean, that was in 1989, and I think I was in junior high. So, I mean, I definitely wasn't critical of music so much. Like, I loved it. You know, okay. To me, it wasn't that big of a transition from licensed to ill. And honestly, I probably at the time definitely didn't appreciate all the intricacies of the, you know, the layers of sampling, but I absolutely loved it.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I think there's a lot of Beastie Boys fans. We were just fans, and we're like, yeah, this is, you know, this is their next step.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was still playful, and, you know, and I don't know, to me at the time, at least, it was consistent. It was just progression, right, from one album to another.
Yeah, and that's why young kids are awesome, because they don't think like music critics.
Exactly.
All right, Jason, here's the deal. 20 questions, you answer them correctly, you will get a Beastie Boys diorama. As you can, if you Google it on the web, I'm sure you can find it somewhere. You will have 3 options for multiple choices. If you get stumped along the way, after you use those, you are on your own.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so question number 1 should be very simple. What color is the CD for Check Your Head?
What color is the CD for Check Your Head? It's like a burgundy.
Would you?
Would that be accepted? A maroon, a wine color?
Judges. Yes, wow.
Okay.
I like how you thought about that. You could have said red, and that would have been perfectly fine. But
yeah, that's true.
Red,
that's true.
Wine, burgundy, you are correct. Since we are in the Halloween season, the next 3 questions will be Halloween themed.
All right.
Tonight, let's play some scary music now. All right, good. Question number 2. Why is Halloween so special for Ad-Rock?
That is because it's his birthday.
It is his birthday.
October 31st, that is my date of birth!
And then he went to the party and he did the Smurf.
Right.
Question number 3, also Halloween related. This reggae pioneer recorded a song with the Beastie Boys on Halloween. A man who dresses crazy, but because it was Halloween in New York City, no one even gave him a second look. Who is this man?
That would be Lee Scratch Perry.
Lee Perry, correct. That Dr. Lee, PhD, recorded on Halloween in New York City. There's an outtake of that when the Beastie Boys put out the remastered Hella Nasty last year, but you are correct, Lee Perry.
That's right.
Question number 4. During the Halloween dream sequence in Triple Trouble, what sport do the Beastie Boys play with Sasquatch?
They play basketball with Sasquatch.
And he dunks on them.
Oh, it was messy. It was bad.
And I was going to ask what costumes they dress up as, but I think I've asked that before in a previous 20 questions.
Oh, really? Because, you know, I probably can only get 2 of those, but I'm glad you didn't ask
for
that.
Okay, yeah, because Ad-Rock is the bee.
I could throw a guess out.
Yeah, Ad-Rock's the bee, Mike D's the pirate, MCA is the deviled egg, and Sasquatch, he's a cowboy. This is called What Song Am I? I open with the sound of a subway car. I shout out an 808 drum machine, and there is a lot of caffeine in this song. What song am I?
That would be Super Disco Break-In.
Super Disco Break-In. Jason, you are 5 for 5. Correct. Question number 6. When the Beastie Boys performed on the 25th anniversary of Saturday Night Live with Elvis Costello, what song was interrupted before the Beastie Boys played Radio Radio with Elvis Costello?
I have to say, that was one of my favorite Beastie Boy performances. I had no idea that was coming, but it was Sabotage.
Sabotage, correct. And that's a question where I write up and I'm like, is this a fair question? Like, were people watching the 25th anniversary of Saturday Night Live? You were watching, they just played, they busted into Sabotage for a second, and then Elvis Costello came out and played Radio Radio. Because when he did that on the original airing of Saturday Night Live, it was controversial.
That's right. That's right.
So
I think it went over a lot better than
Yeah, time. Yeah. The censors and Saturday Night Live and NBC, they were like, yeah, it's all good now. Question number 7. In the video for Alive, the Beastie Boys wear fuzzy suits representing all of the primary colors. Which Beastie Boy wore yellow?
I am 99.9% sure that this one, that Adam Yoke was wearing the yellow. He looks like a banana.
You are correct. MCA was wearing yellow. And just for bonus points, do you know who was wearing red?
Mike D was definitely in the red.
Mike D was in red, and Ad Rock was in the blue.
The blue.
Wow. Jason, you might be for real.
I'm a student.
Question number 8. And this is a tough one.
Okay.
What former MTV News personality has a quick cameo in the Beastie Boys' Fight for Your Right to Party video? And this may be difficult for you growing up in Canada because you had Much Music, yeah, not MTV.
This is true. Famous MTV personality. Wow, I mean, one name pops into my head, but I'm hesitant to say it because...
And you have three multiple choice options. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just think for one moment.
And let it be known to Beastie Universe, I wrote up these questions before I knew that Jason was from Canada.
That's fine.
Because if you asked me like a Much Music question, I'd be like, I have no freaking clue.
I would say it's the exact same thing, but I mean, I feel like I should know this. I mean, I've seen that video like a million times. Could I go for the multiple choice?
Yes. A, Tabitha Soren. B, Kurt Loder. C, Sway Calloway. Or D, Gideon Yago.
Oh, wow. I know it's not the last two. And man, it was the first two that you mentioned are the two that I thought it could be. Kurt Loder, wow. His mug should stand out in the video. And I'm thinking,
it's tough.
It's got to be Tabitha Soren.
Final.
That's my final.
She is in the video. Tabitha Soren. Woo!
Is that the girl Mike D kisses? No, that's not
She's
her.
She's sort of in an overhead shot.
Okay.
Like when everyone's partying and frolicking, you can see a quick glance of Tabitha Soren, who had that auburn hair. All right. We go on to question 9. Congratulations, Jason.
Thank you.
I think this is a tough one for question 9, but you are a student, so here we go. For each Beastie Boy, name at least one of their side project acts.
Okay. Well, Ad Rock, I'll start with BS 2000.
I'll give you that one. And by the way, you can't have multiple choice on this. It's just kind of too intricate of a question. So yes, Ad Rock, BS 2000, I will give you credit for that.
All right. Yowk, Brooklyn, the band Brooklyn.
I will give you credit for that.
Whew, Mike D. This one should be easy.
Mike D has...
Side project? Can I say the record label? Grand Royal Records, being the president?
No, we're talking musical acts. And I have three written down right now, and I will also give you credit for a fourth and fifth, if you really wanted to reach. I thought MCA would be the tough one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I know this is probably some obvious ones. I'm just not thinking of here. So,
it's tough. He's on vacation. He's, you know, he's thinking about pina coladas.
Oh, you are so right. Oh, mighty.
I will tell you what I have listed for the other guys. So, Ad Rock, he played bass in DFL.
Right.
He did BS 2000. MCA, Brooklyn. And I would also have given you credit if you said his little drum machine collaboration with Jay Berzuti Burnett. And right now there are members of Beastie Universe slamming their fists down on their desk like, come on, Jason,
no.
It's so simple!
I mean, I'm thinking of things that he might have guessed on, but an actual legitimate project.
I'm an idiot. Because while you are sitting there thinking about it, I now have a fourth one listed.
Oh, really?
So now I have four. So now you actually have six options. I am giving you six options to win this.
And I'm sure I know of all six.
You know You definitely know of three. Kids.
Okay, hold on.
Kids are throwing music, their computers right? out of the window right now.
We're talking music.
Talking
right?
music,
music,
yes.
Only?
Music only. All right. Here's what I'm going to do, Jason. You seem like a nice guy. I said I wouldn't do this ever again after I gave Say Adams like 10 correct questions. And then karma burnt me because the question he got wrong, I actually got wrong. I totally messed up the question. And I said I would never do that again on 20 questions. But here's a deal I'll make with you. If I give you a hint, how about your next two multiple choice are gone?
I like it.
All right, so we're going to do that? All right.
Let's do it.
So I will give you a hint. You will have no more multiple choice options. And if you would win the Beastie-rama, you would have to...
You're going to be an asterisk?
No. No, but you would have to send a nice letter to my wife saying that, you know, you would take good care of it, and if she would ever need to show anyone the diorama, you would lend it out.
Absolutely, yeah. We're renovating our basement right now, so I have the perfect spot over a mantle.
Okay.
Fantastic.
All right, so here's a hint. One of these side projects has Mike D's freaking name in it! Two of the songs were on the freaking anthology!
Country Mike.
Country Mike! Come on, Jason!
Project? I didn't know that would count.
It was a whole album!
I know.
It was a complete album.
I know.
They put out more. Country Mike put out more stuff than Brooklyn!
That's still the Beastie Boys, though, I thought.
No!
All right, Country Mike sings the blues. That final answer.
Country Mike, Latch Brothers, Big Fat Love, Flofist Society Orchestra, and I would have even given you Quasar or Trip Hammer just to be nice.
Oh, man, I never would have came up with those ones as side projects, but... Yeah, I'm a farce. I deserve to go out on the next one. But.
No, so you have no more multiple choice options now. This may be an amazing run. You may rattle off 11 in a row. This is question number 10. So yeah, you would have to go 11 more. Question number 10.
Confidence.
Right, you're playing now with the tendonitis in your elbow.
Pretty much, yeah.
3-minute roll. Begins with this sound, a recreational device used frequently during the recording of Paul's Boutique. The sounds of this precede the lyrics on 3-minute roll. I'll read the question again. 3-minute roll begins with this sound, a recreational device slash game used frequently during the recording of Paul's Boutique.
You know what? Karma is biting me. I have no idea.
No idea. So you're tapping out.
I am tapping out. Shamefully.
Now, the Beastie Boys did not record much live for Paul's Boutique. A lot of that was the Dust Brothers. I believe the bass on Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun, that was done by MCA, and the sounds of ping pong balls hitting off the ping pong table.
Oh my goodness, that's right.
Was recorded live in the studio.
Oh.
So every time you hear a ping pong ball hit a ping pong table, you will think about question number 10 on 20 questions.
It's going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
Well, Jason, thank you very much for joining us on your vacation.
Thanks for having me, and honestly, I'm so happy that you do this. I mean, it's such great entertainment, especially between, like, the Long Beach hiatuses.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah, and I'll keep listening.
Yeah, and don't let this get you down. Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
No, I definitely will. I definitely will.
Right here on the Brouhaha, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, Beastie Nut. He will be here to talk about one of the greatest websites of all time, BeastieMania.com.
The newest in new. out with those guys. Man, I ain't got nothing to do with those dudes.
And then I saw your female with them too. What's up with her?
We have returned on the Brouhaha. Jason did not win the Beastie Rama today. And joining me, this is a treat, we have Beastie Nut. Welcome. Now, should I call you Mike or Beastie Nut?
Either one is good, Jim.
Okay.
We can do Mike. That's fine.
Okay. Now, is there a beast? Is it Beastie Mike? Has it ever been Beastie Mike?
No, it's never been Beastie Mike. It's always been Beastie Nut. And that's kind of just from a friend of several years ago, just knew I was a big time collector, and you know, just said you're a Beastie Nut, and that's just kind of how it kind of kept, you know, stayed that. So.
Okay. And can you help me out here?
Sure.
Jason went down on a Paul's Boutique question, and to the best of my knowledge, like there was a bunch of little snippets recorded live for Paul's Boutique. Like I think they got a security guard to say, "Is your name Michael Diamond?" And then the bong hits were recorded live. The ping pong balls were recorded live. But I think the only instruments that the Beastie Boys recorded live, and help me if I'm missing anything. MCA did the bass on 3 Minute Roll. MCA did the bass on Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun. And Ad Rock did the guitar on Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun. And other than that, it's all samples. So do you know of any other instruments that they might have played on Paul's Boutique?
No, I sure don't.
Okay, but listen, I'm sorry I let off with that. I don't want your brain to get fried because I have a lot of questions to ask you about my favorite website on the entire internet, BeastieMania.com.
Yes, it's huge.
Which I have used as reference many, many times on the Brouhaha. I love the fact that BeastieMania.com referenced to and the 33 and a third Paul's Boutique book.
Right.
That makes
and others
it,
beyond that.
That's official. That's official right there.
Yeah, right, totally.
So when did it start?
Well, version one of Beastie Mania is what we call the first version, which was post Hello Nasty era. So I was a part of that version, but I would assume it was around 97 or 98, somewhere around that year. It started by a guy by the name of Ninth Beastie with several of his friends, and in 2002 is when what you see now, version 2 is what we call it, kicked off in July, actually, of 2002, and been going strong ever since then.
Now, who is the staff at BeastieMania.com? Are we talking like 40 people? Are we talking people?
No, we have a team of, I believe it's around five members who, you know, their knowledge and gathering information skills and everything else, they play a huge role in being a team member. So
that's how. The kingpin is Ninth Beastie.
Right.
Then we've got Beastie Nut, who is you. I know Astro B-Boy, who is from Australia. That's why we could never do a podcast. I guess we could do one on Skype, but I like to do it over the phone lines. And I was like, yo, Astro, I mean, I don't know if that'd be an expensive phone call.
Right.
So you three, and then who else does it?
Right. And there's Cindy, which she actually has her own website, too, which is a sister site to BeastieMania.com, which is called Mike to Mike.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Right, and that's our sister site, and she runs that with another group of her friends.
Okay.
So, and then there's another guy, and his name is Big Fat Love, which kind of once I, you know, quit collecting, you know, he kind of took over my role, but they tried to kick me out, but you know, I was like, no, I've spent too much time or you know, been included in this way too long just to, you know, to give it up. So I'm still on board.
Now, Cindy, if you work for BeastieMania.com, do you also work for Mike to Mike, or is that just that's Cindy's project?
That's pretty much her project. You know, if we've got, you know, something that we'd like to for her to, you know, spotlight on, you know, we, you know, share it with her or vice versa, you know, and and she'll post it. And I think just, you know, just like this podcast is going to, you know, she's going to feature that on her site too, just to advertise us. So.
Oh, yeah. And Cindy, if you ever want to be on the Brouhaha, just drop us an email, beastiepodcast@gmail.com. Now, Mike, where do you guys get your information? Because you've got some flyers on there that it's amazing they still exist.
Yes. Not only, you know, the fan community, obviously, but we've had, you know, huge support from everybody from Tom Cushman to Eric Bobo, Mike Mishita, which is Money Mark's brother, Dave Parsons, even a few of the girls from Luscious Jackson, Jill Cunniff and Kate.
Nice.
And so, I mean, we've got a lot of, you know, people backing us, you know, to get all our information from. And not only those people, but just every day we get, not every day, but, you know, for a while, it's almost been every day, but just random emails from people, you know, providing us with information. And so we gather it all up.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you that. Like, do you actively look for stuff, or because you're establishing on the web, people automatically send you flyers or interviews and whatnot?
Yeah, we're actively, you know, looking. I do. I look, you know, because I kind of just focus on the discography part of the website. But, you know, every member has a different hat that they like to wear, and, you know, that they part of the site that they like to focus on. And so they're currently looking for stuff.
Because I always ask people who do like websites and blogs this question.
Right.
When did you know that you had a special site on your hands?
Well,
someone from the Beastie family contacted you, or you just started getting a bunch of emails.
Well, with the original, you know, with Ninth Beastie, when he created it out of frustration from the main BeastieBoys.com official website, and just because of the lack of updates that they provided, and you know, and I think just the lack of information altogether is what.
Let me say, Mike, that was listed as one of the biggest Beastie Boys disappointments on an episode of the Brouhaha. So continue.
So that was the whole reason it was created, and I guess once that happened, it just kind of, you know, blew up, and it's where it is from, or where it's at now is, you know, just from, it has just grown.
And what do you think is the, in your opinion, the greatest thing on BeastieMania.com? And I'm not talking discography or information. Is there like a nugget of information that you have that you're like, yeah, woo, I can't believe we dug this up?
Well, there's so many, you know, of nuggets, you know. I can't, just from those people that I mentioned, are, you know, just being able, you know, to have contact with them, and, you know, stuff that, you know, nobody would even know about the Beastie Boys. They provided that information to us. So nothing specifically that I would know right off the bat, but I'm sure Nice Beastie could share some insight on that. But
now, is Ninth Beastie, is he in the States?
Yes, he is. He is in the States.
Okay.
I think he's more central United States. So.
Okay.
I was just going to say, everybody that works on the site is from the States except for Astro Beeble.
Except Astro, okay.
Right,
Now, pretty much, I mean, if you go to BeastieMania.com and you spend a week there, you will know everything there is to know about the Beastie Boys. But to the staff at BeastieMania.com, are there any Beastie Boys mysteries out there that you need to solve, that you need to uncover?
For a while, I think people were always wanting to know where that sample, there was a sample from one album. Now I can't even think what it was, but it finally got discovered, and that was like a huge thing that, you know, people wanted to know, and now it's escaped me, and I can't remember what that was, but I'm sure somebody knows.
Who does the tour dates Like the history of the Beastie Boys touring schedule.
Like the gigography?
The gigography, yeah.
That's Astro. That's one of his points on the site where he's like really involved with. So he likes all, you know, the tour dates and getting all the, you know, the old performances, you know, because a lot of those shows have, you know, been forgotten and, you know, dates are hard to come by now to, you know, so he's like, he likes to research all that and get all that.
Because let me say, I use that as a Bible. Because a lot of times people ask me, how many times have you seen the Beastie Boys? And I'm like, I think I've seen them like 25 times. And then I'll go through the years and I'm like, I saw them there. Oh, yeah, I forgot I saw them there, too. I saw them there. Do you guys know anything? And maybe this is a question for Astro B-Boy. Do you know anything about the live Paul's Boutique dates?
No, we don't. That's like the era that we've. Nobody seems to know, other than I think we have like one show, and which was from the Shadrach,
from the Country Club
video, right? Yeah, exactly.
Because I think they played maybe like a half dozen shows, and they were also part of these radio promotions, so they weren't even legit Beastie Boys shows.
Yeah,
but now you're a collector. Do you have any of those shows by chance?
No, I have nothing. Yeah, believe me, if I did, you know, I would have shared that info a long time ago. But yeah, I know that we're talking, where you're coming from on those, like the album promotion shows. Mm-hmm. I think they were like small, you know, small little venues. But it's just one of those mysteries.
Because I read the Paul's Boutique 33 and a third again by Dan Leroy, who did an amazing job on that. And I don't think there'll ever be an answer. I mean, cause he was talking to everyone who was around back then and not even they know.
I know. Right. So,
although there is a footnote that says, I forget what year someone bought vinyl, like show vinyl from those performances. Do you by chance know who owns those vinyls?
Actually, I owned one.
Whoa, that was you!
Yeah, that footnote. Yeah, exactly. I think it like says I bought it off of eBay or something.
So what instrumentals were on those vinyls?
Well, they're listed on Beastie Mania. Check it out there. I don't know right off the bat without looking at it, but
okay,
yeah.
Because I remember it was like a three songs from License to Ill. I think it was Hold It Now, Hit It, maybe The New Style, and then just a handful of songs off of Paul's Boutique. Maybe like Shake Your Rump.
Right.
And a couple others. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break, Mike. But when we come back, I have a few more questions about BeastieMania.com, and I have a couple questions about you being a collector.
Sure.
Or I should say, former collector.
Right.
We will talk about that when we come back on the Brouhaha.
I want to take this minute to introduce you to my people.
B-E-S-T-I-E-A-D-O-O-C-K-M-I-K-E to the D.
M to the C to the A.
It does go well with the chicken.
We are back on the Brouhaha. Not taking a 15-minute break. Although, Mike, we did take a break, correct?
Correct.
Because when I had Say Adams on, I was telling you that we would take breaks between the segments, and he's like, whoa. He's like, you actually do take breaks. I thought you just kept recording. And I'm like, no, there's a mini break. Just to rest your brain.
Right, yeah.
This may be a controversial question, but I've noticed reading the Beastie Boys message boards that there seems to be a quasi-drama/conflict with some of the members of BeastieMania.com. Can you unclear this mystery?
Well, you know, I'm not going to get into it because
instead of getting into it, can you explain it to me? Because I sense it just in some of the posts, and I was like, what? Who are they mad at? What went on?
Yeah,
If you, if you can softly broach it.
Well, I mean, all I can say, that's just something that's like, you know, between the them, and it doesn't affect the whole us as a group, I guess. So, you know, that's all I can. That's all I can.
Okay.
You know, say.
So, without getting you in trouble.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Here's what I've been able to pick out. And I don't want to get you in trouble by picking things out, that there are certain members of the Beastie Boys message boards that have a problem with a singular member of BeastieMania.com, or maybe one or two members, but not the group as a whole.
Right.
Would that be correct?
Yeah, that would. Yeah.
All right.
We can say that.
Yeah, and then everyone else can read in between the lines, and if you're interested, then you know just drop someone at the message board a line.
Yeah, exactly.
And the only reason I brought it up is because the people that seem to have a problem are people that have quality posts on the Beastie Boys message board.
Sure.
Because many times on the message board, someone would be like, "Oh, I'm a first-time Beastie Boys fan. What song should I listen to?" And then there's like members like, "Screw you! You should go to hell! Like, how could you not know?" And I'm like, "Whoa!" So I'm not talking about those members. I'm talking about members with whose posts are respected on the boards.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, I hope I didn't get you in any trouble.
No, I don't think so. Like I said, as a group, you know, we get along with everybody. But if somebody has, you know, specific beefs with one another outside of BeastieMania.com, then hey, you know, so be it. But it doesn't affect us as a group.
Yeah,
so.
And we should have a cipher, like a freestyle battle, you know, and then everyone can be friends afterwards. We'll give each other fist pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's talk about you being a collector. Jason,
okay.
Jason was on earlier. He played 20 questions, and before we went on air, I mentioned your name, and he's like, "Oof." He's like, "Beastie Nut, he is a completist." And talking to you before this interview, I found out that you sold off most of your collection.
Yeah, exactly, I did.
Now, why did you sell off your collection?
Well, you know, after 20 years of doing it and basically owning every item out there, you just kind of just, you know, lose that feeling of... you know, having that rare piece in your hand, and you know that feeling just kind of went away. And you know, after the years, and like I said, just having everything, I was just like, okay, I've done it. You know, I've done it all. I collected it all. Okay, so and I was just at a point where I was like, okay, now it's time for somebody else to enjoy this. And so I just decided to sell it all.
Wow, it's like that scene in Die Hard. When Hans Gruber looks over that little building model, and he's like, I think he said, when Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds left to conquer.
Yeah.
Did you hear? I had a couple questions. I didn't know you sold it all off. Did you own the cowbell?
Oh yeah.
Okay, because there was a cowbell given out for the release of Hey Ladies.
Right. Well, of course, I didn't get it. You know, in 1989. But actually, that was a piece I acquired, I don't know, within the past 5 years before I quit. So
okay,
it was more of a piece I, you know, later collected. But yeah, go ahead.
All right, but you had the cowbell.
Yeah, uh-huh. Among many other things.
And well, the Beastie Boys supposedly made these prototype A guns that they were going to sell through Hasbro or Mattel or something like that. By chance, did you own an A-gun prototype?
Nah, I didn't even know that. I never heard of that before as like a promotional deal or an actual...
No. They seriously drew up prototypes, and I think they actually had some models done, and they were thinking about selling A-guns, but Paul's Boutique was such a bust, you know, no one gave a crap about Eggman, hence no one gave a crap about A-guns.
Oh.
So
no, I didn't... No, the only gun that I know is the water gun that Grand Royal, you know, put out as a promotional item. It was for Ill Communication. Yeah, you could, like, you know, it's actually a water gun that you could, you know, fill up with water and shoot. Yeah.
Now, what other items did you own? Just sort of oddball items.
Well, I have this, I mean, as far as Thermal Braille goes, I mean, my thing was were my magazines that I had with, because I just collected magazines with the Beastie Boys featured on the front cover, mm-hmm. and I had hundreds, I mean, literally hundreds of magazines, and actually, we have a section on Beastie Mania that, you know, is the memorabilia section, which has, you know, you can search specifically for magazines,
mm-hmm.
and there's, you know, literally, a, you know, I don't know, a couple hundred, and out of those couple hundred on there, I didn't have, like, two.
Oh, my so, goodness.
I mean, that was, like, one of my, I mean, at times, that was, like, even more, like, in, you know, I was impressed more with my magazine collection than I was with my CDs and records and promotional items, so... I mean, that was just like something, I don't know what it was. It was just magazines. I was just drawn to the magazines.
Yeah, I love the magazines too. And then maybe like 3 years ago, I'm like, what the heck am I going to do with these?
Yeah, oh really, yeah.
So I basically just ripped all the covers off, collaged it, and put it in a frame.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now do you still own your live recordings?
Live recordings, like show vinyl, yeah. Or
well, not show vinyl, but like, you know, live Beastie Boys shows, say from Lollapalooza or 95, 96.
Right. I mean, I had like, you know, the bootleg CDs. You know, I collected those too, but you know, I don't have any of that anymore.
Oh, so you sold it all off?
All of it, huh?
You don't
all
even have MP3 files of those shows?
No, I didn't. I didn't convert anything that I had. Kind of a spur of the moment, though. I always, like, you know, planned to, well, actually, I never, like, planned to sell it, but it was just kind of, I just, like, sold one piece, just thinking because I just needed some money at the time,
uh-huh.
and it just kind of, I was just like, hey, man, I can make a lot of money right now, and so it just, after I sold one, I think the first thing I sold was, like, one of the skateboards that I had with them, actually, with the GNS Mark Heinzman skateboard from, like, 1994.
Wow.
And I made, I don't know, like $500 on that, and it just snowballed into me selling everything.
Yeah. Now, was there a holy grail to your collection that you sold off?
At one time it was the dolls, you know, because a big item for collectors to get their hands on, you know, and
because there was only 1,000 made, right?
Right, yeah, and actually at one time I had two sets of them, too. Yeah. Actually, because the thing, the reason I got two sets was to, because they come with, like, a little sealed bag of the intergalactic suit that you can change out. And so that's why I wanted, like, one set to just to mess with, you know, to play with, quote, unquote, and the other to, you know, just keep sealed and, you know, untouched.
So you play dress up. You play dress up with them.
Yeah. And let me tell you, man, just trying to get those clothes, the intergalactic suits on. Oh, it was impossible. I mean, it was like you had to like literally get soap and water to get the freaking boots on. It was crazy, man. And I think broke one of like MCA's hands too on the dolls, and which, you know, I didn't really care because I had a backup set.
Right.
I mean, that was the whole point of having two sets, you know. But. So anyway, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, I've touched almost everything out there.
And did you have a favorite collectible?
Everything. I mean,
that was just, close to your heart.
No, nothing just specifically that just like stands out. I had like a few CDs that I know that like nobody had. There actually is one CD that I don't know anybody is having, but obviously I sold it, so somebody else has it now.
Wait, what is it? Do you remember?
It was like a Canadian promo for, I believe it was like 3MCs and 1DJ. And it was, I mean, the only one that I've ever known anybody to have was the one that I had. And so that was like, yeah, as far as being close to my heart.
Wow.
So that's a rare one, man.
So if I went to your house right now, would there be any Beastie Boys memorabilia left?
Just the main album.
Okay.
This is all I have, yeah. That's all. The only thing, just the regular U.S. standard copies of the album.
Not even the maxi singles?
No way.
Wow.
All that's gone, man.
Now, in the world right now, who would you list as the premier Beastie Boys collectors?
Big Fat Love and Prof B. Huge. Huge collector.
Wow.
They're the go-to guys now when it comes to mass.
Now,
because they're the ones who got it. So.
In all fairness, you sold off a lot of your collection to Prof D.
Yeah.
Right? Sort of passing the torch. That. And you said you said that you were sending him something this week. Since I am a close friend of his, may I ask what that is?
I believe it's a 10, 12-inch record. Some of them are She's On It single. The variety and everything from, the Spanish version to Canadian version. And I think a couple of Root Down 12-inch records, too. So
Prof D's collection keeps growing.
Yeah, every month it grows. Yeah.
So... Mike, we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, I just want to talk Beastie Boys with you.
Sure.
Because obviously you're a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
So don't nobody go nowhere. We will be back on the Brouhaha.
Hey, what you know?
What it is, come check the noise. It's the new black version of the Beastie Boys.
From the Beastie Brothers and the Beastie Boys, with their beastly toys, they give you some beastly joys. To put on your beastly drawers and show me your beastly paws.
The Brouhaha.
We have returned on the Brouhaha, hanging out with Beastie Nut, the man they call Mike. And Mike, we're going to end this with talking about the Beastie Boys.
Sounds good.
Obviously, you are a huge fan. Otherwise, you would not have spent 20 years collecting Beastie Boys memorabilia and helping to create one of the greatest websites on the internet. So when did you get hooked?
It had been around 91. Prior to Check Your Head coming out.
Wow.
Obviously, kind of late, but when License to Ill came out, I was like in sixth grade, so music at the time wasn't much of an interest to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
so that's sort of an odd time. Yeah, it's an odd time to get into it, because a lot of people say, oh man, I got into it, License to Ill, and then a ton of people got into it during Check Your Head. You snuck in at 91.
Right. Like,
between Paul's Boutique before Check Your Head even came out.
Yeah. Right, exactly. That's
so how did that happen?
I don't know. My brother had a tape of Paul's Boutique, and I had to listen to it, and I was just listen to it every day. I was man, it's awesome, and kind of just got obsessed at that point. And then I was okay, I got to have everything about these guys, and that's when the obsession took over as far as collecting. And
from 91 on.
Right, exactly. 91 on.
And then when Check Your Head came out, were you blown away?
Yeah, totally. I mean, and that's when Grand Royal obviously was born too. And I got on their fan mail list. I got some of their original fan mail letters that they sent out my mail.
Wow.
Mail. Yeah, and I had saved all that stuff too as part of my collection. Even the envelopes, with the Grand Royal logo. And all that.
Yeah, I remember I got the lyric sheet from Check Your Head.
Yeah.
And I was this is awesome.
Yeah, and they had an order sheet where you could order, shirts and stuff. And yeah, I thought that was so cool.
And I was always what did you say, Mike?
I was just gonna say because on that order form they also had the License to Ill tour book you could order to. Which was kinda weird.
And I think that was sort of I think that was the brainchild for Grand Royal, because when they got all the requests, I don't know if the story goes, they told someone to send a dollar in, or people just request for the...
Yeah.
I can't remember if we sent a dollar in, and when they got the large response, they're like, whoa, if all these people, we've got a network now, we should start something.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I guess I don't think everybody you know, got something initially, but like I said,
and I was,
I did, yeah.
And speaking of that lyric sheet, I was always a little bit confused because I think it had the lyrics to A Year and a Day on it.
It did, separate from the Check Your Head.
So then I was
like its own sheet, yeah.
Because I was like, was this a B side or something? I don't understand. Yeah. Was this? I don't get it.
I mean, the lyrics aren't with all the other lyrics in the Paul's cheek notes, right? I don't think it was. And so that's what I think when I got that. I was like, oh man, check it out, the lyrics of For Year and a Day.
Yeah, man. So were they not?
The lyrics were listed. No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. Maybe I read that on BeastieMania.com somewhere. I don't know.
Maybe.
So I read about that somewhere.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen the Beastie Boys live?
It's probably been like 7.
Okay.
Yeah, the first one was a Check Your Head tour. And they played here in Houston in 92, you know, and that was like freaking awesome because I was like, you know, right up the, hugging the rail, you know, right up front. And, you know, I was even slapped out of Roxanne, you know. And so, I mean, that right there was just like the moment for me.
I mean,
it was fucking awesome.
People always say, if you had a time machine, where would you go back to? And I said, I would probably go back to like the Check Your Head tour because I didn't get to see it because they didn't come to Pittsburgh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, I would have loved to have seen that. Yeah. Now, when's the last time you saw the Beastie Boys?
Five Boroughs tour in Austin, which was 2004.
Good.
It was the last time I saw them. Yeah. Okay.
So if they swing through your neck of the woods, you will still see them.
They don't come to Houston anymore. Yeah, I will. They don't come to Houston, but I don't know why. I think in 94 it was, I think. They had a barricade and that the fans broke through, and then I think that just upset the whole city or something. I don't know, but they don't tour Houston anymore. They haven't toured Houston since then, in 94.
Yeah, well, if it makes you feel any better, they don't play Pittsburgh either.
So now they come to Austin or Dallas, and probably supposed to be in Austin, which is a lot better anyway.
Yeah, it's a cool city.
It is, yeah, as far as the music scene goes anyway.
Yeah, and then I had someone email me because I had the biggest disappointment episode. I was like, the Beastie Boys never played Pittsburgh, and someone emailed me from Buffalo, and they're like, they never played Buffalo either. So we need the Beastie Boys on the next tour to hit Buffalo, Houston, and Pittsburgh.
I know, man, but I ain't gonna hold my breath. So
do you have a favorite Beastie Boy?
It was more of it. I mean, he was like total idol for me. I mean, when I was first started out, I mean, so much. I mean, I have his thing tattoo. It's the Silver Surfer. I blew up that tattoo. You can actually see it on one of the geography concert reviews that I did for one of the Dallas shows in 94. Because actually, I obviously went to that show, too, and tried to start a fight with that guy.
Wait, you did?
Yeah.
Why?
It was another one. It was the only way I could get his attention, you know? It was the only thing that I could think of for him to acknowledge my existence, and that's what I wanted. I needed that.
And did he acknowledge you?
Yes, he did. He actually physically did. Uh-huh. And he wanted to fight. And he was actually motioning me to come onto the stage to fight him because I was, like, flipping him off. I know this is probably, you know, a shitty thing for me to do. But like I said, it was just for me to get his attention. And I did that. I was, you know, messing with him the whole freaking night. And, you know, and he was like, you know, most of the day he would be like, come on, come up here then, come on. You know, you could just read his lips. And then at the end of that show, that's when I like showed him my tat, which is the exact same one that he has. And then he was just like totally just like drawn, you know, his jaw just dropped because he was just like so like, holy crap, you know. And so he dedicated Sabotage to me. At the end of the show, he's like, I'd like to dedicate this song to this guy down here. He's been fucking with me the whole night. And then that's when the Sabotage riff came in. And it was just like, dude, that was freaking awesome.
You got your wish and more.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that story has a happy ending because, you know, that Ad-Rock might still remember that. And
he might.
He might be blown away. He'd be like, whoa. Like, if you never resolved that, he'd be like, wait. That dude is part of BeastieMania.com?
Yeah, totally. I know, man.
Now, speaking of the Beastie Boys, do you know if they ever read BeastieMania.com?
I think they're aware of it. I think, you know, I've read or somebody said or mentioned that I think MCA, he's like been on there and checked stuff out. And I don't know where that came from, but I think that's what I remember. I'm sure.
But have they ever contacted you guys?
No, not.
Okay.
There haven't. No. But we get people contacting us all the time, trying to, you know, just promoters trying to get them to play for whatever they got going on. Or
like, we don't know them. We don't know them.
Our typical deal is just like, hey, we're a fan site. You'll have to contact their publishing people.
Yeah.
Nasty Little Man. But that's who we direct them to when we get those types of emails. But we get, you know, emails from people who had relationships, you know, with the Beastie Boys, trying to get contact. Well, actually, I think one person emailed us once who was like lost her virginity to, I think it was Rick Rubin. And we get these kind of emails every once in a while, these crazy ones, you know, something like that.
I have Rick Rubin's child.
Yeah.
His son wants to meet him.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's crazy, crazy things like that. I mean,
wow.
Steve Caballero, you know,
the skateboarder.
He emailed us once, was giving us props on the site, you know, just like, man, you guys are freaking awesome. You know, the site's badass. I love the Beastie Boys. Just random email, you know, from Steve Caballero. That's not kind of like something to be pretty proud of or whatever.
Well, let me just say that I thank God that you created BeastieMania.com, because if you didn't, I would attempt to do that, and it would take years and years and years away from my life. So now that it's there, I can just sit back and enjoy it and not lift a finger.
Hell yeah.
So I thank you. I thank all of the people who run that, because I'm serious. That's my favorite site on the internet. I'm a content and information junkie, and that has content and information on my favorite band of all time.
Well, speaking of the site, obviously, we're actually like looking for somebody to help out with just the graphics, because we'd like to, you know, these graphics have been on here since, you know, 2002, and we're trying to actually, you know, find somebody. You know, it doesn't pay, obviously, you know, it's just, you know, being able to do something and cool group of guys.
Throw up a link or something. People will come, Ray. People will come.
Oh, right.
Build it, and they will come.
Okay. I see what you're saying. True. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think we're planning on doing that. I think we're planning on, you know, linking this to that.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you very much for joining us.
You bet, Jim. Thanks for having me.
For letting us just pick your brain to death.
Oh, yeah.
For Beastie Nut, also known as Mike, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later.
That's it. That's all there is. Come on.
We're gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
It's a brouhaha.